All right, let me move on because I'm keen to talk about planning and review meetings. I'll probably need to say a whole load more about what I envisage, but hopefully that makes sense as we go. I've got text in front of me, so interrupt me because I won't see it. I won't see if you put your hand up. So I guess it's worth saying, just to begin with, this talk is illustrative of the first mistake that's worth avoiding. In other words, don't ever put review and planning meetings together. Keep them separate. Not just, you know, don't just differentiate between them in a meeting, just completely separate them, make them distinct. Because if you don't, you'll end up with what Patrick Lencioni, in his brilliant book, Death by Meeting, describes as a leadership stew. The great, great thing about Patrick Lencioni's books is that actually all of the substance comes at the end in probably about 10 pages. So he does this thing, he writes what are called leadership fables, which are essentially stories, a story about stuff. And look, it's not a bad thing. It's quite enjoyable. It's a very light read, but you don't need to buy the whole book. And sometimes you can get stuff from the last few pages online. But his point is, if you have a meeting stew, it's all in. It's just everything's thrown in together. And you're like, oh my life, what am I doing now? And it's exhausting, overly ambitious, and it just kills everything. So the key thing is, to recognize the distinct nature of different meetings and to keep them separate. Don't go from one to the other necessarily. It's just hard to make the switch inside a meeting without there being a cost in terms of engagement and energy. Inevitably, I think in church staff meetings, both of those things, both review and planning, tend to go together, because we're anxious about having meetings all the time. And to be honest, when I ran camp, which is where I did a lot of my church leadership learning, we would have the one business, you know, the camp business meeting where we look back and we look forward, and we look back practically and spiritually, we look forward practically and spiritually. And, you know, there's a sense to that because you've got all the people in the same time. But I wonder whether we miss a trick in not having two separate meetings, even in our staff meeting. So I wonder whether there is value in having review separately, planning separately. Now, of course, at the moment, you are the staff, so it's like having a meeting with yourself. But I think as soon as you can, it is worth finding others to work with it as a team, doing both review and planning. But the critical thing is, if you can, try and keep them separate, okay? So just to explain a bit more about that, just in terms of, I tell you what I could do. I could just share screen. Why don't I do that? So look, review meetings, planning meetings, very straightforward, but that's the difference, isn't it? Why you do, you know, what are you doing in it? Well, with a review meeting, obviously you're looking back. With a planning meeting, you're looking forward. What are you asking? Review meeting, you're asking the key question, how did it go? Planning, what needs to happen? Those are the two key questions. Why are you doing it? The review meeting, to learn for next time. Actually, the review, it's all about learning. Planning, why are you doing it? To succeed this time. That's what you're doing. We're gonna get it right this time, guys. Okay. How do we progress? Review, what were we trying to do and how well did we make that happen? Planning, what are we trying to do and how can we ensure that happens? Those are just, can you see they're different things? That's all I need to establish at this stage. I've said most of that. Okay, what are we talking, so it's looking back, looking forward. Okay, I thought, so a friend of mine, a Christian friend of mine, a very experienced business friend, said, I think for Christian review and planning meetings, I think the key thing is, review essentially is, what can we thank God for? And planning is, what do we need to ask God for? And I thought, to actually have a senior Christian guy involved in business at a high level frame what we're doing in terms of godliness and prayer. I thought that's really healthy, actually. And I thought, I haven't done that previously, so I really like that. So that's what we're talking about. Let's do review first, see how we get on. Just a reminder, this is when we look back, we're making an assessment about how well we did what we did and how well we did it, so that we can learn lessons for the future. Look, the key thing is we are not sitting in judgment on what happened or those involved in it and giving them a mark out of 10. It's not like Strictly Come Dancing for whatever we've been doing. We're trying to learn forward. There absolutely must not be a mood of, there can't be the fear of blame or retribution. This is not about accountability. And one says, look, it's not rocket science. I think for all of you, you are more than capable of working out what do I need to think through? What do I need to review? It's not rocket science, but here you go. This is the kind of the who, what, where, when, why, how type thing that I do periodically. So it is worth thinking about who do you want in your review meeting? Now, let me at this stage just qualify what I'm talking about. I guess the question is, what are we talking about? Are we talking about micro or macro? The truth is we're talking about both. The principles are the same. Whether you're analysing your Sunday meeting or the sermon within a Sunday meeting or the leading within the Sunday meeting or the interview within the Sunday, that is micro. Macro is, how well do we do as a church last year? Now, I think in March, we are a couple of months away from doing the kind of annual review that we need to do before we plan 2021, 2022. So I think on my big picture thinking, I'm thinking you'll review a year and you'll plan a year, and you'll need to do that probably in May. Okay, so I'm trying to gear you up for that, but a lot of you won't have had a previous year, or your previous year won't massively play into the year that is to come. But it could be that you're dealing with termly. In other words, what did we do last term? What are we doing next term? But I, at this stage, I still want you to think macro more than micro. So I'm not principally concerned here about analysing your Sunday meeting or whatever it is you do, or your launch team meeting. Okay, I'm not. The principles are the same, but let's keep big picture at this stage. All right, everyone happy with that? Okay, so in terms of who, this is all about who, the right personnel, who are going to give you the feedback that you need. Get this right, you will have lots of buy-in and lots of ownership. So who do you need in there? You've just got to think that one through. Get a team around you as soon as you can, so it's not just you. What are you going to review? That is about the scope. How wide are we going? And if you're clear about that, what you'll do is you'll get the right level of interaction, and it'll help with concentration. So look, guys, I'm talking about big picture. I'm talking about the year. And then, you know, someone wants to talk about the launch team meeting you did last week. You've got to say, no, we're talking big picture here. Let's think large T-shirt, not small T-shirt. Where are you going to do it? Honestly, it's all about the mood and the vibe. Will it help or hinder? In other words, get that right. I think people will feel engaged. Do you need a spreadsheet or do you need a large flip chart? Do you need kind of post-it notes and pens and Sharpies? That stuff works. It gets people to engage. So think about where you're doing it. Are you going to do it in an office? Are you going to do it? Do you go out somewhere? Do you do it in a cafe? All those kind of things worth thinking through. Where can people speak openly and honestly and they like being there? When are you going to do it? Now, that is about positioning it in the diary. It's got to do with timing. Get that right. People will be fresh and ideas will be fresh. So it is diary placement, both in terms of the year, but also in terms of a week, also in terms of a day. Because, for example, if everyone's shattered after a Monday and you're doing review first thing on a Monday morning, guess what you're going to get? A whole bunch load of negativity. So it's just worth thinking about when you position that. And that's the vibe thing as well. Make sure people have had some food first, so they've got some energy, not too sleepy, but all that kind of stuff. It's just worth thinking about. Why are you doing it? They've got to be clear on this. In other words, why are we doing this? Because we want to pursue excellence. We don't want to be wasteful. You get that right, you'll get people properly motivated, particularly if they don't fear exposure or failure. This isn't about accountability. This is about lessons learned. So, you know, you want an environment where someone said, I completely got that wrong. I think I should have, I shouldn't have done this and I should have done that. And the mistake I made was not to ask the right people. You want a bit, and you want whoever's facilitating that review meeting to say, thank you, that's a really helpful contribution. Let's get that down. Now, I don't think you as the team leader necessarily needs to be the person that facilitates a review meeting. You could do, but it's hard for you to both make contributions and be the recorder. So it might be worth getting someone else to do it. And actually you will set the temperature by what you're willing to confess to. So for you to say, I think my sermon, okay, just as if we're reviewing the year, can I just say, doing the book of Isaiah for all three terms may not have been the wisest call for a new church plant. And everyone will go, yeah, we did tell you. Yeah, I should have listened. Yeah, I know. Okay, and then how are you going to conduct, how are you going to do it? I guess that is just, it's just methodology, isn't it? How are you going to capture what you need? Okay, those are the big picture concerns at this stage. Let me crack on. Let me see, I'll tell you what I'll try and do. I'll try and get this on one sheet of paper. That'll be helpful, I think. Okay, so there's a couple of articles I've got here. I'll send you a handout that are worth reading. This is a kind of after action review, which is sort of US military derived. Key questions down the left-hand side. What was supposed to happen? What actually happened? Why were there differences? So that, as I've said there, these questions establish a common understanding of the work under review. Whoever facilitates should encourage and promote discussion around those questions. In particular, divergences from the plan should be explored. In other words, why didn't we do what we said we were going to do? What happened there? Next set of questions, what worked, what didn't, and why? Those questions generate reflection about the successes or failures during the course of the project, the activity, the event, or the task. And the question why generates understanding of the root causes of those successes and failures. So actually, you know, let's be straight, what worked? And sometimes I would have, if I've got a flip chart, what worked, the Sharpie comments go up. What didn't work, the Sharpie comments go up. Why? Ooh, okay, that's where it lands. That's going to be really helpful. Next question, what would you do differently next time? The question is intended to identify specific actionable recommendations. Don't you love this stuff? In other words, yeah, next time we conduct an interview, you know, what went wrong? Well, it went off-piste. Honestly, let me tell you then. Okay, here you go. We had a mission evening. We had a mission evening once for Valum, one of our first ever mission events. And on the Sunday before we had mission week, and we had some missioners come to help us, we interviewed one of them about how he came to faith in Christ. And it was terrific. But honestly, I mean, it wasn't what we were expecting, as this particular individual went into perhaps a little bit more detail than we would have been comfortable with about his previous addiction to pornography. And you can imagine just rows of traumatized Christchurch Balamites who were like, wow. I mean, in one sense, it was wonderful. It's just not what we were expecting. Did it go badly? No, I don't think so. Was it raw and honest? Yeah. Was it raw? Yeah. Were we expecting that? No. Did we have stuff in place to know how to handle it afterwards? No. Okay, right. What are we going to do next time? Probably worth going through someone's testimony before we actually get them up in front of the congregation. I've made a lot of mistakes in ministry. That would be one of them. So, you know, that I've learned. I never question someone in church without actually questioning them beforehand, just to find out what they might say, and to go through it with them. Is it controlling? Hopefully not. I think it's just rooting out some of the potential issues that you might face. Okay, a little bit more on review. Okay, let me go for something that's slightly different. It's called a retrospect. It is a slight variation on an after-action review, follows the same sort of format, but follows the same sort of detailed questions that look like this. What did you set out to achieve? That's clarity, isn't it? We thought about that earlier. What was your plan? In other words, how did you think you were going to achieve this? How did that change as you progressed? In other words, you set out with a plan, but it changed. What went well and why? What could have gone better? What advice would you give yourself if you were to go back to where you were at the start of the project? What were two or three of the key lessons you'd share with others? What next for you in terms of this project? So in other words, the review doesn't have to be completion, it can be ongoing evaluation. Can you think of a story that summarizes your experience of work on this project? It was a shambles, or it was a complete success. What should we have learnt? What should we have learned from this project a year on from now? Are there any lessons for you personally? Okay, that's, I think, all I want to do on review meetings at this point. Let me stop share and just open that. So look, that's review stuff. It's really valuable to go back and say, what we're trying to do and how well did we do it and what do we learn from it? That is really worth doing because you want to learn forward. Let me stop. Comments, queries, questions, observations. Some of you guys will have experience of this in different contexts that will be valuable, no doubt.
I think I'm sort of weighing up the balance of having people on the review that have actually contributed stuff so that they actually come with, you know, a bit of skin in the game. What's it called?
Yeah.
And also having people outside who haven't contributed who would make a wise evaluation of how things have gone, because actually if everyone's just defending what they did and the way that they did it, then that's not a very good review, is it?
No, and I think, Rob, I would say it depends on what kind of review. So, you know, the review of it does depend what you're reviewing, doesn't it? I think, so how has the women's ministry gone through the church? It is, you know, that's a great question. And it's kind of concrete. Whereas a review of what is the congregation's attitude to women, that's a very different thing. And therefore you'd want perhaps an external observers, I think. I think this is what I want you guys to think about particularly is year and perhaps term. And it's okay, what am I talking about here? I'm talking about our church ministry program. You know, what has gone into this? What have we been trying to achieve? We've been trying to turn people into fully devoted disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, how well have we done that? Right, how are we gonna break that down? Well, let's think about the four things that we've thought about. Engage, evangelize, establish, equip. Okay, let's take each of those in turn. Right, how well have we evangelized the open-hearted? How well have we done that? Right, that's our subject matter. That's what we're going to think about. And I think you do want people with skin in the game. But so much of it is about what is the mood in the room. Guys, I think everyone in this room is brilliant. Love you as disciples of Christ. We're all totally secure in Christ. We are allowed to get things wrong. We're not the finished article. Incompetence is an assumption with which each of us is going to operate. We love each other. We're forbearing. The fruit of the Spirit is going to govern our activities. Right, let's go. What have we done really well? What have we done really badly? What are we going to learn? If you can create the vibe in the room, which is, I am not giving you marks out of 10 for this. We're allowed to say, honestly, I'm a round peg in a square hole, or a square peg in a round hole. We ask the wrong people to do stuff. Great. There's no point in pretending. So in other words, did we ask the wrong people to do it? Answer, yes. Was there an option? No. Okay, so we had to do it. Yes, we did. Would we do it again? Yes. Good. Okay, let's move on. That's not invaluable. That is valuable. Part of the review is, okay, why did we do what we did the way that we did it? Because there was no other option. Did it have to be done? Yes. Did we do it the only way? Yes. That's a win. That is a win. Did we have to do it? Yes. Was there another? Did we have to do it the way that we did it? No. Why did we do it that way? Because we've always done it that way. Oh, right. Well, that's rubbish. Yeah. Okay. So it's that kind of thing, isn't it? Is that helpful? Come on, you guys have done review meetings before. Giles, you must have, this must be, I mean, that's actually, I got that from an NHS document, actually. It's a brilliant little one pager.
I wouldn't trust anything you read from the NHS, though. It's bound to be rubbish.
I agree.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. No, I would just back everything you said, Perks. I don't think it is. Yeah.
It's some. It may be self-evident to some of you, and I'm really sorry if it is, and I'm just wasting your time. Just for me in ministry, so you've got to remember, my path into gospel ministry is Navy, where I was never, ever at a level where I was allowed to review anything. I mean, it was basically hierarchical, and this is how we do it. For sure, it gets reviewed at the high level, but that just wasn't my experience, so I was never part of that. Teaching, I taught in an independent school. Now, part of the value of being independent is you are independent, which means you don't actually end up being assessed, or rather, you can avoid it if you want. So in my 2 years of teaching, I never had an Ofsted, and my head of department was just very happy that I was doing it better than the guy who was there previously. So again, no review. Camp is where I learned to ask those questions. How well are we doing what we're doing? And for me, it's under the categories of excellence, which is, let's do things as well as we can for the Lord. And it's under the category of stewardship. Let's not waste the resources God has entrusted to us. So I think it really matters that kids come on camp and they have a great experience, spiritually and practically. I think it really matters how good the padda tournament is. Honestly, I mean, probably, it doesn't matter quite as much as the teaching program, but honestly, sometimes it's not far off. That those kind of questions are worth asking, and you guys need to do that, and you need to get others doing that. The skin in the game is a brilliant phrase from Rob. The guys involved in your church plant need to have skin in the game. Sergey, good to see you, brother. I'll send you a document that'll help you out with the planning, but from all the evidence I've seen, you are all over it. God bless, mate. Okay.
Going back to the camp example, though, Perks. Yeah. The reason why the review and the plan happens in one meeting is for time reasons, isn't it? Yeah. And there's a, I think that's probably why we try to squash those two things together in the staff meeting, is because we think we just don't have the time to separate them out. But I think what you're saying is it would be better to have one week and then one the next in that rather than.
I know. I'm not even sure. I mean, that's a great idea. I like my rhythms in a week. I wonder whether it's worth having before lunch, having lunch, after lunch. I mean, the truth is, I would do it the way Matt Fuller does it. I mean, there aren't many decisions that Matt makes that I disagree with. So, Nick, how does Matt do weekly staff meetings?
We do it all together, basically. We do it all together.
But if you have to do it all together, and I understand, try to work away out a way of demarcating the two in such the way that there is also a mental break.
Yeah, It is always very clear which we're doing when. So this is the bit we're looking backwards. This is the bit we're thinking together about. So he's very, very strict on that and having it at the top of the document and everything. This is the purpose of this meeting is X. It's always very clear.
And I think if you can go for a physical break that involves refreshments, and that's valuable as well. It's worth saying it feels time inefficient review. It really does. But I think it's an arrogant minister that doesn't listen to others. And I have been that guy, and you think it's time, you know, oh, for goodness sake, the last thing I want is a bunch load of people who don't know anything about ministry telling me how well, but you need to hear it. And it's really valuable. It's, you know, like feedback, it's, you know, there's good and there's bad, but you do need to hear it. And impression is everything. So I want to encourage you to embrace it and actually really important training opportunities. So in other words, when I'm getting feedback on my preaching, the form I give to people tells them what good preaching is, or at least what I think it is. So not, you know, was the preacher witty and did he give good anecdotes? You know, that if that's on the sheet, everyone, oh, that's good preaching then. Whereas if, did he try to explain the text? Yes, he did. Oh, okay, that's okay. So what you do in your review meeting, it gives people permission to play. What's in view here? What am I allowed to say and contribute and argue about? Those kinds of things. So I think that there is invaluable training opportunities because you are reinforcing in people who are coming up through things. What is good, what is bad, and what are we after? And you're training people in how to think, and what is second nature to you isn't for others. And so you're reinforcing good things, you're undermining bad things in your review. Okay, I don't think we'll get to planning. That's okay. I can send you something. It's not much. We can save it up until afterwards. But any other comments just on review stuff?
I know in the, just an observation, the Dundonald staff meetings on a Monday in the morning, it was both. So it was review looking back, planning looking forwards. And there, you know, God's word at the start, saturated in prayer. And I think partly, you know, because I guess in a big church, there are so many meetings because then everybody had other meetings to go through for various teams. So I think your earlier observation of context is everything. So it'll be different if you're established and you've got a bigger team versus if you're a startup.
Yeah. And I think, for example, what you will do, Ricky, at your stage is you will have a launch team. And there'll be some things that would be appropriate for your launch team to review. But there'll be some things that are more appropriate for you as elders to review. And there'll be some things that actually you want a leadership team that is bigger than the elders, but is less than the launch team that you'll want to review. And then there's just your own review as well. It's you and Esther going for a walk and just, you know, chewing the fat. But it's worth thinking through those irritating six questions: who, what, where, when, why, and how. Actually, what am I, who do I need to in this in order to do this? If I'm reviewing that, who needs to be there and ask those questions? You know, what will it add by having them? What will it take away by having them? And those kind of analytical questions. So the launch team, you'd ask them to review some things. You wouldn't ask and you wouldn't ask them to review some things, you would ask the elders. So the elders, you're going to be talking about, you know, that's high level pastoral stuff in that sense. How is the provision of pastoral care being sidelined because of our purpose-driven ministry priority? That's more of a sort of culture review. Which would be worth doing, because the danger of the purpose-driven stuff is that can be neglected. It can become a bit pathway processy, but actually we forget to love people. So that would be worth doing. But you might do that in a number of contexts. You might do it with the elders, but you'd want a decision, because they'll make the, you know, in one sense they're responsible for the decision, but you'd want them pretty quickly to say, look, we need to get a team of people together to think that one through and to report back to us. And so that review goes out to a group of people who then do, and in one sense, they've got to think through, okay, who do we want in that? Cool. Look, unless anyone else wants to throw in anything at this stage, our time has gone. There's no point in trying to do planning quickly. So I will send you something. I'll try and limit it to a couple of sheets of punchy A4 material. I might even record it for your enjoyment. You'll probably read it quicker than me delivering it. So, but anyway, I think we're done. Let me pray. Father, we know, and you know better than anyone, what goes through our hearts when we hear the issue of review. Each of us perhaps has been subject to appraisal, and it does feel like we're having our cards marked. It feels a little bit like it's accountability, some blame, and some it's coming our way. We pray, Father, we wouldn't fear it, and we ourselves would create a culture in which it's okay to say, hey, how well did we do that? What do we learn from that? How can we do it better next time? And to enable us to create a culture which embraces the possibility of failure and the possibility of dealing with failure, particularly in this area of gospel ministry implementation, where we're thinking about programs and what we put in the diary and what events happen and so on. Father, some of us love this stuff, some of us don't, some of us much prefer to teach the Bible, probably all of us do, but it is part and parcel of trying to take responsibility for a group of people and the gospel opportunities you've given to us. So help us to do it well, help us to do it better, we pray. Help us to learn from one another and to learn from others. We ask this, Father, that we might be wise for the sake of the gospel and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Cheers, guys. Go well. Very happy Easter to you all. I hope what you're planning for Friday and Sunday goes well. See you guys.
Thanks, all.
Bye-bye.